Once again, we welcome everyone who's joining us this morning to our guest. Again, we are truly honored by your presence. And if you haven't yet obeyed the gospel of our Lord, we encourage you to stay behind a few minutes so we can discuss that subject. As you see, we have been studying our theme for this year that our eldership have entitled, Recognizing God's Plan of Salvation. On Friday, the first night, our brother Bonner taught us about the origin of God's plan. Last night, on the second night, we learned about one God and one plan of salvation. Today, at this hour, our brother will be teaching us about the ineffectiveness of time on the immutable plan of God. As we've said and mentioned before, Brother Mike Bonner is an elder and the preacher there at the 9th and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas. He is a dear friend of mine. He is accompanied by his beautiful wife, Sister Evelyn. And we truly are honored to have our brother here who loves and truly enjoys not only studying the Word of God, but also sharing it in its purest form. Thus, without saying much more, brother, preach the truth.
We are indeed grateful for Lord's Day that we come together to study the Word of God, and that's what we all have a desire to do, and that's to study the Word of God. The Word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, as the Bible demonstrates to us, and we're extremely grateful for it because it is what guides, it is what strengthens, it is what establishes us, it encourages us, it admonishes us, it corrects us, and ultimately it will save us. And so God has left us His Word, and we ought to be thankful for it, because in His Word, we're able to not only read it, but study it. And not only study it, but apply it. And when we apply it, others will see Christ living in us, the hope of glory. The elders have given me Hebrews 13 this morning in our third lesson or session together. If we can, let us go to Hebrews 13 concerning the ineffectiveness of time on God's immutable plan. I find it very interesting that when you consider, especially verse number 8 in this context, we understand that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we consider that and we think about the background of the book of Hebrews, you have brethren who under persecution are thinking about going back under a system. That system is Judaism. And as they are considering going back under that system of Judaism, the Hebrews writer is using 13 chapters, that's our language, 13 chapters to convince them not to do so. And the reason why is because of God's plan. What was God's plan? God's plan was to use the law of Moses as a tutor, as a schoolmaster, Galatians chapter 3, 23 and 24, to bring them unto Christ. And that's exactly what happened. And so when the children of Israel were brought unto Christ, Christ, according to Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 4, he was born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. When Jesus Christ came, he did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Matthew 5, verse 17. Find it very interesting that Jesus died under that law, but when he died under that law, he nailed the law to the cross. And when we consider that, because he nailed the law to the cross, he abolished it, meaning it is no longer valid. But it was nothing wrong with the law of Moses per se. Romans 7, verse number 12. It was holy, it was right, it was good. But the people of God, after obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, and remember being under immense persecution, were threatening on going back to Judaism. But keep in mind that Judaism was a system that was sanctioned by the blood of bulls and goats. You can put in your notes Exodus 24, verse number 8. You can put in your notes Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 3. But it could not remit sin. And so we have to keep that in mind as the persecution is continuing to go on with the children of God, Christians. Here the Hebrews writer is encouraging them that they need to stay with the law of Christ. And so you have all of these great words being used in Hebrews to demonstrate, Brother Obed, the superiority of Jesus Christ over angels, over Moses, so forth and so on. Getting to chapter 7, he comes after the order of Melchizedek. Chapter 8, as he is going back to Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, in Hebrews 8, verses 8 through 14, concerning the law of Moses. But it would be a law later on that would not be on tablets of stone, but now it would be into the hearts of men. Now that's a very important point, because when we consider that, you go from there to Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 10, and he is bringing forth how the brethren who are Christians need to remain focused, lest they are like the children of Israel in Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 4, because of the word of God not being mixed with faith, they fail to enter into the promised land. So when you get to Hebrews chapter 10 and Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, he brings up these individuals who by faith obeyed God. Now they didn't obey the gospel, because the gospel at this particular time was not preached as it relates to Jesus Christ being the Son of God, dying on the cross, establishing the kingdom, the church. However, when you think of Hebrews chapter 11, these individuals obeyed God by faith. And we'll have more to say about that in the next hour. But in Hebrews chapter 11 and 12, he comes with these closing comments. But it's interesting, and I have to ponder this, and I'm still pondering it, because the title itself is very interesting as it relates to the context that was given. And this is why we have to be careful when we think about giving titles and contexts. We have to make sure that they actually go together. And so when you think of Hebrews 13 verses 8 through 15, the more that I was pondering, I can see now. But watch this. I can see it because of verse 8. Now watch. Jesus Christ is the same. When the book of Hebrews was written, it was before the destruction of Jerusalem. So 68, 69 in that particular area. And we know that this is true because of Hebrews 10 and verse number 25. Not forsaking the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Well, some venture to say that that day is the day of judgment. Some venture to say that is the destruction of Jerusalem. I believe the latter will be a little bit more to the context. Why? Because when you consider what was going on, the temple was still standing. These brethren were thinking, if I go back into Judaism, I'm still okay. But that's not the case. Why? Because Jesus Christ nailed the old law to the cross, which means that it had no more power. Amen, friends. Because we live in a world today where people still believe that the law of Moses has authority. The law of Moses doesn't have authority today. Why? Because we are to listen to Jesus Christ. God set the record straight in Matthew 17 verses 1 through 5. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Not listening to Moses, not listening to Elijah. And so as these Christians are threatening on going back under a system that was sanctioned by the blood of bulls and goats, that was ordained by carnal sacrifices, and not the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because those sacrifices was looking forward to the ultimate sacrifice in the person of Jesus Christ. This was part of God's plan. It's unchangeable. It's immutable. And time doesn't affect it. Now watch this. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8, again, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we read that, we have to be careful. But when it was written and read to them, it meant something very powerful. And what was the point that Hebrews writer was trying to make to them? Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on that cross. He's superior. We don't have to go through all of those things that we just went through. He's the one that we listen to. He's the one that we submit to. He's the one that we honor. No one else. Now watch this. When we consider the Word of God and Jesus Christ being the same, Jesus said with his own words, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It's the same. That won't ever change. Matthew 24:35. God's plan of saving man through Jesus Christ was before the foundation of the world. Therefore, God's system, watch this, friends, of morality is not time sensitive. Received a letter in the mail the other day from my daughter, and it said time sensitive information. The Word of God, the law of Christ, is not time sensitive. Morality is not time sensitive. When the law of Christ was given in Acts chapter 2, even though the law of Moses, watch it now, was eradicated, abolished, over, when Jesus said it is what? Finished. Morality is still the same today. And 2020 and 21 doesn't nullify what God has taught in his word on how we ought to think and live. Now, we live in a time where people believe that generations dictate how we ought to live. Let me give you some examples, and you know how I do it. We'll be around here to Hebrews 13 in a minute. But we got to set this beautiful picture up. In Matthew chapter 19, verse number 4, when we think about God's system of morality, Jesus said, he who made them at the beginning made them both male and female. Jesus sets the identity crisis matter to an end. He sets it straight, which means that there are two genders. We stop and we consider that Jesus said, in the beginning, God made them both male and female. Two genders. Now that's very important, because when we consider the ineffectiveness of time on God's immutable, unchanging design, plan, Jesus sets the record straight. There are only two genders. Matthew 19 and verse number 8, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning he said it was not so. We live in a time today where people don't even believe in marriage. They believe in shacking up. They believe in living together and not being married. I got a Bible verse for that. That's Romans 13 and verse number 13 with the word chambering. The word chambering. You look that up. It's graphic. It's graphic. But we live in a time today where they say, well, that's antiquated. That's old fashioned. We don't live like that no more. God or Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Time does not change God's law.
Amen.
And we as members of the church need to get that in our minds and keep it there. Because if not, we'll be conformed to the world. Instead of being transformed by the renewing of our minds. In Romans 1 and verse number 26 and 27, here Paul by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is condemning male and male and female, calling it unseemly. And they're condemned for these actions. Time periods are ineffective when it comes to God's moral code. God's system of worship is not time sensitive, and it does not change with generations. God has always looked for true worshipers. John 4, verse 24 and 25. When you notice the very first worship service, now watch this. Go to Acts chapter 2. When you notice the first worship service in Scripture, this is why we have to study. It's why we have to pay attention to details. We have to be like excavators who are using the brush and they're sweeping away the dirt very softly, very methodically, looking for the evidence. Watch. In Acts 2 and verse number 42, remember that 3,000 souls have been baptized and added to the number. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that's preaching, and fellowship, that's singing and giving, in the breaking of bread, that is what we're going to be doing here in a few minutes, that's communion, and in prayers, that's communication to God through Jesus Christ. Five acts of worship on the first day of the week. God's immutable plan was established on the first day of the week. And guess what? 2,000 years later, some who are faithful to God are doing the exact same thing. God's immutable plan is not changed by time. God's immutable plan is exactly that, brother. It's His plan. And so we see that. And then in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 7, here the Bible communicates to us on what day this immutable plan was to be acted out. The context we're talking about now is worship. Now on the first day of the week, guess what day it is today? It's Sunday. It's the first day of the week. It's not Saturday, as some denominations, they practice worship on Saturday. But that's not what the Bible demonstrates. That's not the example that we see. And here's the question we have to ask. Is a biblical example binding? The answer to the question is yes. It's binding. And so we see in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 7. Now on the first day of the week when the disciples came together. And what did they do? They broke bread. This was not the common meal. This goes back to Acts 2 and 42. This is the Lord's Supper. Why did they come together? For the Lord's Supper. Guess what? Time does not affect this part of God's immutable plan. Well, that's old fashioned. We don't have to do it that way. Well, the Bible doesn't say we can't. In 1 Peter 2 and verse number 5. When we consider worship, we can throw in John 14 and verse number 6. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through. Dia is the Greek word there. The idea of a tunnel. That in order for me to get from one side of the tunnel, Evelyn, to the other side of the tunnel, I have to go through the tunnel in order to get from one side to the other. In order to get to God, I got to go through Jesus. I can't go through Muhammad. I can't go through Allah. I can't go through Bonner. I can't go through Obed. I have to go through the one in whom God chose, Jesus. And so in 1 Peter 2 and verse number 5, friends, we can't make this stuff up. And that's why when I'm studying and I'm preaching, man, I love to say what God says, because if you're going to pull on it, you're going to pull on God. Pull on Him. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5, here the Bible communicates to us. In no uncertain terms, He says, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house. 1 Peter, Timothy 3 and verse number 15, we're the house of God, a spiritual house. A holy priesthood, notice this, to offer up Spiritual sacrifices, not carnal sacrifices. Now think about this from the Hebrews writer's perspective. Here you have Christians who are designed to lead the spiritual sacrifices back to a carnal animal system, a Levitical system, instead of the system of Judah. Jesus, Revelation 5 and verse number 5, was a lion out of the tribe of Judah, not Levi, not Aaronic. That's very important for us to understand. But notice, acceptable to who, friends? Notice, the idea of to is the idea of unto, the Greek word eis. And that's very important because the spiritual sacrifices are acceptable to the one where the sacrifices end. That's God. But notice the word dia, through. He is the vehicle, Jesus Christ. Worship is to God the Father. Just God the Father. That is a difficult concept because of the denominational world has flooded in all of these different doctrines. And that's going to be, and that's why I love this subject. And I'm so thankful that this was given in Hebrews 13. Because when we think about Hebrews 13 verses 8 through verse number 15, he's going to warn them, be careful not to be dragged away by strange doctrines. No wonder I have a responsibility that when Obed preached, when Starks preached, when anybody preached, I need to be like the Bereans who are more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they search the scriptures to make sure that the things that Paul was saying was so. Now, if they're going to check behind an apostle, one sent by Jesus Christ, he was inspired. You ought to be checking behind one who is aspiring to be a preacher of God's word. I ain't made it there yet. I have old people always saying, one day you're going to make yourself a preacher. I say, I appreciate you giving me room to grow. Amen. Because some of us think we have already arrived. But even Paul said, I have not yet arrived. And he was an apostle. So, if they're checking behind Paul, check behind Bonner. And just because a man sounds good don't mean that he's sound. And so we notice God's system of morality, God's system of worship. Lastly, God's system of justification does not change with generations. Just because I think I'm saved don't mean I am. The only way that I can be justified, God has to justify me. And so, in Luke 24, verses 44 through 47, repentance and remission of sins must be preached in my name, beginning at Jerusalem. This actually took place, that baptism for the remission of sins must be practiced and is practiced, Acts 2 and verse 38. The jailer understood this, and Paul, as he is preaching to the jailer in Acts 16, verse 30 through verse number 34, what did they do? Wash their stripes. And he and his household were baptized. Justification. But look at Acts 26 and verse 20. In Acts 26 and verse number 20, repentance and turning to God and working repentance is vitally important. God's system of justification does not change with generations. Now watch this point. Because when a person actually changes their mind and do that which is right, then you're going to see it in their lives. In Acts chapter 26 and verse number 20, notice what the Bible says. Paul talking, he says, but declared first those to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles. What did you proclaim, Paul? That they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. Guess what? John preached that when the Pharisees came to the preaching of John when he was out preaching in the wilderness. He told them to bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. It is still God's plan that when a man or a woman sin, that they need to repent and confess, repent and pray, Acts 8 and verse number 26, 22 and 23, I'm sorry, with Simon the sorcerer, but then bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. You can't beat your wife and tell her you're sorry and then beat her again tomorrow. You can't disrespect your husband today, telling him you're sorry and disrespect him tomorrow again and keep on doing it. After a while, they're going to say, Joker, you lying. That's true. God's immutable plan as it relates to repentance is still the same. It's still the same. Now, let's look at Hebrews 13. I gave all of the application. I front-loaded it. I did. I front-loaded it. Y'all know how it is when you go to a new job and they say, well, we're going to give you your bonuses and all of your incentives on the front end, and then we're just going to hope in good faith that you'll stick around. I've been there. Like, wow. They're showing their good faith in me. Now they want to be shown good faith in them. Well, I just showed my good faith in you by giving you the application on the front end. Now watch. It's so important for us to understand the ineffectiveness of time on God's immutable plan, unchanging plan, okay? In verse number 8, we'll read it again. Jesus Christ is the same today, or yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about by various and strange doctrines. Now, why would he say that? Because Jesus hasn't changed, ever. The system of Christ has not changed. And so, receiving family pressure, receiving pressure from the Judaizing teachers, Galatians chapter 1 through 6, receiving pressure from even your own mindset, am I doing right by following Christ? Did I deny the law of Moses by following Christ? No wonder Paul had to say by inspiration that the law of Moses was a tutor to bring us to Christ. No wonder John would say that you haven't lost your Abrahamic seed by following Christ. That's why he says you have not sinned. Why? Because these strange doctrines keep popping up. And friends, they're still popping up. And nothing has changed. And so the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4 and verse number 14 would tell the Ephesian brethren the same thing. Look at Ephesians 4 and verse number 14. As he's encouraging the brethren, the Gentiles at Ephesus. You remember the purpose of the gifts? Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers. But in verse number 14, there's a reason why he did this. That we should no longer be children, meaning immature, tossed to and fro by every what? Wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. What does this mean as it relates to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 9? Do not be carried away by various and strange doctrines. Why? Because the Word of God hasn't changed. The Word of God was the same in Acts chapter 2 as it was being taught by inspiration, by word of mouth, and as it was being written down by the apostles and those who were writing for them. It's still the same. God hasn't changed. And because God hasn't changed, you don't have to be carried about by novel doctrines of today's time. The new heavens and the new earth. Well, instruments of music being offered in worship. Or women preachers. And now we have transgender preachers in the Lutheran church. What will he preach on? What can he preach on? He doesn't even have comfort in knowing that he is a she. And here's the problem. You don't accept yourself for who you are, but you want us to accept you for who you are. God doesn't change. He made them both male and female. And even animals know that. Those of us who have conscience and consciousness should understand that as well, because he has given us his word. But brethren, Romans 1:32 is still in the Bible, and it has not changed. It is immutable. If I, as a Christian, open my mouth because of what's in my mind and say, well, if that's what they want to do, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just seeing if they are. Why? Because I am sanctioning. I am okaying. I am validating that which God says is wrong. Amen. Fellowship with denominations is wrong. Why? Even when it came to idolatry, various and strange doctrines. When it came to idolatry, having gods, literally in the Hebrew, around God. You'll see the word before. Have no other gods before me. Literally around me. God doesn't want to be surrounded by evil. And can't. And so here the Apostle Paul, by inspiration in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, to 2 Corinthians 7, verse number 1, come out from among them and be what? Separate. Why is that so important? We need more preaching on holiness from the pulpit. We need more teaching on holiness in the home. We need more holiness in the marriage. We need more holiness in the pulpit. It's unfortunate when you have men who call themselves leaders in the Lord's church, preachers in the Lord's church, and they're living heathenistic lives. Come out from among them. And one thing that God has said when Nadab and Abihu offered up strange fire unto God, when it came to Eleazar and Ithamar, he said, those who come about me, near me, must regard me as holy. Amen. But we live in a time now where we all have sinned, where we all mess up. Brethren, I understand the concept, but I challenge you with this. You should be at least aiming for the target. Don't fall to the denominational, sectarian, unholy mentality. Well, I'm going to mess up. So you're telling me that you go into business knowing that you're going to go bankrupt? No. You go into business hoping that you what? Succeed. We must be about the business of God. But take notice, verse number 9, the latter part. It's a great text. And it fits now. But notice what he says. For it is good. Friends, did you get that? That's why sometimes when I'm studying, it takes me all day to just look at a verse or two. Like, Mike, can you get past that verse? But look, it's so pregnant with information. Ready to give birth. He said, for it is good. What's good, Hebrews writer? That the heart, the mind, the soul, the will, the intellect, the emotion, all of that make up the heart. Be what? Established. By what? By grace. The word established there literally is the word sterizo. We get our English word steroid from it. It makes you firm and strong. And that's why when you take enhanced drugs in the professional realm of sports, they'll fine you, they'll suspend you. Why? Because you are using alternatives that make the muscles stronger, thus giving you the advantage. But God has given us the advantage, Brother Bryson, by giving us His grace. Titus chapter 2 in verse number 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brought salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. God, what are you doing? I'm establishing you. I'm making you strong. Why? Because I don't want you to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I don't want you to be carried about by various and strange doctrines. Well, I think I ought to give that a thought. Well, give it a thought as far as the Word of God will let you. But the time of the politics that we see in the world today, where we strong arm you into doing what you don't want to do, is done in the church. And I'm going to say something, and some of y'all might not like it, but that's fine. There was a great debate between Joshua Rodriguez, Israel Rodriguez, and Mac Deaver. You could tell that Mac Deaver was trying to strong arm the brethren. No. Use the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, Paul said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, mighty through God, pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Paul, what are you teaching? Don't be trying to strong arm people. Don't try to intimidate people. Use the word of God to make your argument. And that's the world we live in today, that they don't want to hear your argument. They want you to do what they said because they said it. God doesn't even do that. In Isaiah 1 and verse number 18, come and let us reason together, saith the Lord. My arms are outstretched. Even Jesus, as he is overlooking Jerusalem and he sees the people of God, sheep without a shepherd. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Jesus, what are you teaching? I'm pleading with you. The Hebrews writer, what are you doing with the brethren? I'm pleading with you. So he uses all of these arguments for what? To convince them, to persuade them. And it's not by coercion, but it's by persuasion. That's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 and 17. The responsibility I have as an elder at 9th and Main is to persuade the brethren to follow me, not coerce them to follow me, because God doesn't even coerce, he persuades. That's Bible. But we have taken the corporate America mentality and we have brought it smack dab into the church. Therefore, we have just conformed to the world. Brethren, it's work being holy. It's work being holy. And so the Hebrews writer is making a point that the ineffectiveness of time on God's immutable plan is so important that I don't want you to be made strong with foods which have not purified those who have been occupied with them, but I want you to be established, that's 5 minutes, to be established by the word of God. And so verses 10 through 12, he says, don't be mixing the Mosaic law with the law of Christ. Why? Because anytime, listen friends, anytime we mix man's words with God's word, we're going to get in trouble with God.
Amen.
I have a responsibility to make sure that I speak what thus saith the Lord. If any man speak, let him speak out the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it with the ability which God has given him, that in all God will be glorified. I don't have the liberty to say what I want to up here. I don't have the liberty to use denominational doctrine. I don't have that liberty. If I'm going to be faithful to God, I got to use the word of God.
Amen.
And we don't apologize for it. Well, Brother Mike, I think that's kind of tough. Well, so be it. Because I'd rather face God, who is merciful and just, than to face a man who's going to face the same God I'm going to face. So in Hebrews chapter 13, and brethren, I preach like this at home, right, Evan? Okay, I ain't playing. I know what's required of me. And I know I will bust hell wide open if I don't do right by God. That scares me. Not too many things scare Mike Bonner, but that scares me. Going to hell scares me. Because that's not annihilation like some brethren teach. That's eternal. So in verse 13, those who identify with Christ should go out to him. Here, the Hebrews writer says, as the animals were sacrificed outside of the gate, Jesus Christ was outside of the gate being sacrificed outside of Jerusalem. He says, go out there and suffer shame with him. If I could give some application for that, I would say that 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12, yea, all they that live godly shall suffer persecution. Which means that I'm going to step out on a limb and identify with Christ.
Amen.
The other day, yesterday when I checked in, I saw a young man walk out and he's half dressed. And young lady, she drove up, she's half dressed and You could tell they wasn't married. I already knew what was going on with that. And for about 30 minutes, my heart sunk. And the reason why is because we don't even think about sin no more. We're so concerned about getting sick that we're not even scared to go to hell. But God's immutable plan on morality is still the same. You know it's still all right to be a virgin when you get married?
Amen.
Teach your children that. It's all right to still be holy. It is okay to still be blameless, you know. Blameless meaning, it doesn't mean that you're not making mistakes, but it means that those mistakes have been corrected. It's still okay to be a Christian. It's still okay not to be fearful. It's still okay to be a member of the Church of Christ. And you don't have to cower down when someone say, well, what fellowship are you of? What faith are you of? There's only one faith. I'm a Christian. I'm a member of the Church of Christ. Suffer outside of the gate with him. And so when we consider as a Christian, we look forward to the new heavens and the new earth. 2 Peter 3 and verse 17. Why? Because righteousness dwells there. We look for the Savior from whence cometh from heaven, Philippians 3 and verse 20 and 21. And so with those things being said, look at verse 15. And God's immutable plan, time doesn't change this. He said, therefore, by him, as Christ, let us continue to offer sacrifice of praise to God. That's the Father. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to God. You know what that is, friends? That's singing. Singing is a spiritual sacrifice. Time doesn't change that. In James 5 and verse number 13, if any of you are married, let him sing psalms. Not jump on your guitar, not play on your piano, Amazing Grace. No, sing to God. But look at verse 16. And this is my last verse right here. I was a little zealous. I went over and beyond for y'all. But he says, but do not forget to do what? Good. Why? Remember, we're identifying with Christ. We're going outside of the gate, Brother Obed. And so in Acts chapter 10, in verse number 38, Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, went about doing good. And what's the purpose of the Church of Christ? Ephesians 2 and verse number 10. It was created for good. And so, what responsibility do I have? I have the responsibility to do what God did. And that's to stay with the plan, regardless of what's going on. So I leave you with Hebrews 6 and verse number 18 by two immutable things. That's his oath and his promise, in which it's impossible for God to lie. And friends, I said all of that to say this. God doesn't change, we bet not.
Amen.